On the phone, we've got Jeremiah Jensen with KSL 5 Sports. Jeremiah, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you, Keith?
Good. You have time to look up whether or not I'm full of it on the Steve Prefontaine?
I don't. So I'm going to go with it. That sounds good. Yeah. Steve Prefontaine, Coos Bay. Yeah.
You know what?
I'm not from Coos Bay. I know that.
You know, the only reason I kind of know this, and I could be wrong. I'm going to ask Trevor to look it up right now. Steve Prefontaine, is he from Coos Bay? Is because when I used to be on the road doing stand-up comedy, Jeremiah, I used to do gigs all over Oregon, including Coos Bay, Oregon. And when I was there one time, I was doing a couple of shows. They had the Prefontaine, like a 10K or 5K, and I ran in it. I participated. So I'm thinking, if they're going to have a 5K or a 10K or whatever it is named after the guy, he's got to be from there. But once again, I've been wrong before. I'm probably wrong again. But that's how
I'm just shocked to hear they have comedy in Coos Bay. That's good to hear.
Can I tell you, they need it. It's a logging community. It's a sad, sad place. Trevor Allen, wait a second. What do you got, Trevor?
He is indeed from there.
All right. I'm going to give myself a round of applause.
Well done, Keith. Well done.
Hey, thanks for being on the show, Jeremiah, and Happy New Year, buddy. Hey,
same to you.
The last time we talked, we were talking about Kyle Whittingham and the possibility of would he be around still or not around or what's going to happen, all that kind of stuff. As of now, he's still there. After that press release that came out from Coach, from the good doctor, that wasn't much of an endorsement, I didn't think. I think it could have been a little more dramatic and more embracing of what he had. But do you still think it's a possibility that there are changes made up top? I obviously need a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, but I'm talking about with Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, you know, I'm like you. I read that press release slash statement, and to use a comedy reference, it was the Seinfeld of statements. It said absolutely nothing.
Right.
I don't know what to think of it at this point. It sounds like at this point they've kind of agreed to disagree, and perhaps somebody's helped them smooth things over a little bit for now so that they can at least work together, which is a good thing because I think it's in the best interest of Utah football that Kyle Whittingham remains the head coach and that he's able to go out and replace the defensive and offense coordinators with the guys that they're quality coaches and to keep this momentum going with this program. So whatever's going on right now, as long as Kyle Whittingham is still the head coach, I think that's a positive for the program. It's good news for Utah fans. But I'm of the belief that this thing's not, not all as well. And it's not something, I mean, if you were a Utah fan and you want to stick your head in the sand and believe that this was nothing, it's no big deal, you can go ahead and do that. But I'm certain that there's issues there, and hopefully they can be resolved over time to the point where they can at least work together. But as of right now, it looks like, you know, things are going to stay the way they are, which is a good sign for Utah football. And I didn't think that was going to be the case. I thought changes were on the way.
And they could be on the way. But maybe it's one of those situations. Not everybody gets along. Not everyone has to be best friends. We all want to think that that's the case, but it doesn't always. It's like the old Dave Mason song. Remember Dave Mason? There ain't no good guys. There ain't no bad guys. There's only you and me, and we just disagree. That doesn't mean that anyone's bad, but maybe we don't see eye to eye on things. How important, Jeremiah, is it for Utah to go and make a move right now and get a defensive coordinator and an offensive coordinator in there, or does it not matter that much right this minute?
No, it's an absolute urgency right now to go out and get the guys in place. Number one, because of recruiting, you've got to solidify that. Number two, I mean, the longer you wait, the more guys take jobs elsewhere, and the pool gets thin. So you need to move on this, and you need to go out and you need to get the most qualified, you need the best guy in the position. And so you got to get that done now. You got to go out and do that. And you know, that's Kyle Whittingham's job right now, as he remains the head coach at Utah, to find the right guys, the right fit. Because, you know, obviously Kalani Sitake was a tremendous loss, and he did such a great job there for so long, especially in recruiting. That Dave Christensen was only there for a year. But, again, one more year where you don't have continuity at the offensive coordinator position. So hopefully this time around, you know, and it may be tough to do that considering that there's, look, everybody out there is hearing about this Utah situation and they worry about stability. You know, how long is Kyle going to be there? So that's an issue that he's going to have to deal with as he tries to go out and find the guys to fit this position that are qualified and they can help this program move forward.
Do you think that Kyle was blindsided a bit and that may be why it's taking, like, I don't know how long it's supposed to take, but it seems to be, in my mind, like that, like he would be ready to roll if he really knew what was coming. If he knew that Kalani was going to leave and that Christensen was going to leave, that he would be maybe ready to make an announcement as to who the new coordinators would be. Or is it because of the upheaval and what we've heard with the non-agreeance, if you will, between Chris Hill, whether or not Kyle would even be back anyway. So maybe that's what's thrown this whole thing into this, what appears to me, a bit of a delay in making that announcement or decision.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I don't have the answer specifically as to, you know, did he see this coming? Did he, you know, was he shocked that Kalani took the offer, went to Oregon State? It seems to me, I'm just looking into things, that it wasn't that much of a shock that Dave was leaving. So, you know, maybe he's farther ahead in the offensive coordinator search. But again, I mean, you really can't start doing this and really moving on this until you know who's available, and that doesn't come until the end of the season. So it hasn't been very long since he's known who's available to go interview and talk to. And I think coaches get together here soon. Like, when is that? All the coaches in the country get together for this thing around the national championship game time.
Yeah, it's the coaches' convention.
Yes, the coaches' convention. I don't know when that's that, and that's probably the answer to our question, and that'll probably give us more insight into when this decision could be made, because a lot of that kind of stuff is done at the coaches' convention. So that may be the answer we're looking for, but I think that's probably, you know, what he might be waiting for, when that stuff occurs, is when he has a chance to talk to a number of guys in one place, one setting. And, you know, if he's going outside the family, that may be what he does. And perhaps he's doing that and then makes a decision whether to promote from within or to go out and get somebody else.
I would say he's probably getting really good at interviewing offensive coordinators, so that should
be. Yeah, he's got that down pat.
Yeah, he's got the questions down there. Hey, got to make eye contact, wear a nice suit, have your resume in hand. Yeah, he's good at that, and I'm sure he knows who's out there, too. Yeah, how likely is it, Jeremiah, do you think, for Kyle to make a decision and stay in-house on both sides of the ball, defense and offense, with the new coordinator position?
I think it's more likely on offense, to be honest, because I think he's got more experienced guys on staff that have been in that role. Dennis Erickson has been an offensive coordinator and obviously a head coach and a very successful head coach. Aaron Roderick has also served in that capacity. He doesn't have anyone on staff currently, I believe, that has been a defensive coordinator. And I think that Morgan Scally is being considered for that position, but I think it's much more likely that he goes outside, outside the house to hire that defensive coordinator. And I mean, this is just me speculating, but I guess it's also a possibility that he just takes over DC duties himself for a year. So, I mean, that's who knows what his mentality is there. I think he, especially on defense, he needs to have a guy that he trusts a great deal. And so a relationship needs to be there already. And that's why perhaps Morgan would be a good choice there. But I wouldn't be shocked if that's a decision he makes, at least temporarily, to just take over those duties himself. But certainly we'll see. But I think that's a possibility.
Well, if that press release is correct, and when Dr. Hill released it and said he offered 800 GER to Kalani Sitake, I just wonder, whoever the new offensive coordinator is, says, like, I want a piece of that. I want some of that money. Or if you're Kyle Whittingham, you say, you know what? We know how much you wanted him for. I'll be the DC, so bump my salary up 800 grand, and I'll take care of business.
Then everything's solved, right?
That's
then
right.
Whittingham gets his raise. He gets more money, and the defense is fine.
Yeah.
I think we got a solution here. But I'm guessing that once the amount of money was released that Kalani was offered, that the amount of applications for the defensive coordinator position at the University of Utah skyrocketed. I almost put my name into the hat there if you're paying 800 grand for a defensive coordinator. But, man, yeah, it was interesting that he decided to release that information. Obviously, he was frustrated with some of the rumors that were going around about, you know, and reports that were going around that he lowballed the assistants, et cetera. I think he wanted to make a point that he made a very, very lucrative offer. You know, I think the issue may have been how long it took for him to make that offer. If that offer was made a lot earlier, perhaps Kalani would still be here. But, yeah, very interesting that he released that information.
Yeah, I think he released it just because he wanted to shut everyone up and say, look, I'm offering real money over here. The problem with that is now everyone's going, okay, now I know how much money you got in your pocket. I want now, Dennis Erickson, I am shocked that he's still there. I thought after Christensen came in last year that Erickson would say, toodaloo, I'm out of here. I'll go coach somewhere else, because the amount of money he is making here at Utah, unless he really loves it, and I can't imagine he loves it. Now, the reason I say that, I love it here, but this guy's been all over the place. He has coached all over the country. He's a bit of a vagabond, kind of a traveling man he appears to be. So I was shocked when he stuck around last year after Dave Christensen came in and he was demoted. Do you think that Dennis is going to stick around, or is it basically, if he's not coordinator, he bails?
That's a good question. I think if he was really furious and upset with the situation, that he, if you want to call it a demotion, to be the running backs coach after he was the offense coordinator, co-offense coordinator, I think he would have left by now. I haven't had a chance to talk to Coach Erickson and to get his thoughts and feelings on, where he's at with his coaching career and what he's looking for and what he wants to do long term. But it seems to me, and I have to just speculate here because I haven't talked to him, that he does like it here. He does like his current role. Perhaps he saw opportunity coming, and then he stuck around because there would be some chances to maybe return to offense coordinator if that's what he wants to do. But ultimately, I think the guy just likes coaching at any level, and perhaps at his age and this point in his career, he doesn't mind having a more low-key role. What he is very active in and has a huge role in Utah is recruiting. He's done a terrific job. He's opened up a little bit of a Florida pipeline that we're going to start to see develop here as these younger players get to become upperclassmen. But he's done a great job in recruiting. He's had a huge impact on that, and you're going to start seeing a lot of the kids he's brought to Utah have a huge impact on this program. And as far as the running backs coach is concerned, what was the MVP of this team last year?
No doubt.
It was Devontae Booker. And so you got to give him some credit as the coach of the running backs for helping Devontae Booker develop into arguably the best running back in the Pac-12.
I think Christian's
1500-yard season.
I think Christian's is taking some of that credit too. I think he's going, hey, did you see this? Let me roll some tape of my offense, my amazing offensive juggernaut, University of Utah.
Yeah, here's my offense. Right. Give Devontae Booker the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Ball.
Then that way he gets the running back job over there. Not the running back, but the running game coordinator at Texas A&M. I guess we'll see what happens with this. I'm surprised, though, with the connections that Dennis Erickson does have in Florida and the fact that he's able to convince players to go all the way from over there all the way to over here to play. I'm surprised that someone in the state of Florida, I know he was at Miami, but someone even in the SEC would say, well, you know what? He's a great coach, obviously, and he's got all those contacts. He can recruit the Florida players. Why not bring him to one of the SEC schools? I'm surprised that he's staying here, but maybe he's a snowboarder. Maybe there's something we don't know.
Perhaps. No, yeah, I think, yeah, he's got a season pass to snowbird.
Yeah, he's up on the – or maybe it's a good place to go karaoke. They play his favorite.
That's probably more likely. I'm betting more on the karaoke than the snowboarding.
Yeah, he's got a song. When you do karaoke, you got to have a go-to song. Maybe he's got his go-to song, and he's comfortable there. Jeremiah Jensen, always a pleasure to have you on the show. So – Coos Bay, Oregon, Steve Prefontaine, Mark Helfrich. There's a little something, a little nugget for you.
You've educated me today, Keith. I appreciate that.
We learned together, Jeremiah. That's the way it works. Jeremiah, thanks for being on the show, man. I appreciate it, and have a great day.
Thanks for having me on, Keith.
There you go. That's Jeremiah Jensen, friend of the show. Great guy with KSL 5 Sports.